To give. How many know that this is a very, very core of Christianity comes down to our heart of giving? Really, it does. It comes down, are we willing to give up our life for Christ? Are we willing to give up our dreams for His dreams? Are we willing to give up our passions for His passions? Does God want you to have passions? Yes, He does. Does God want you to have dreams? Yes, He does. Does God want you to set goals? Yes, He does. But all those things should come under the umbrella of saying, God, they all are according, we lay them at your feet, God, all according to your will and plan for my life. I want your plan for my life above anything else that I have in dreams. And so it's a giving up, and we're learning to be people who open up our hands to the Lord and give. We talked about learning to open up, learning to open up our lives so we are naturally close people. And naturally we say from the time my first words of, it's mine, and it's mine. And many of you, if you like me, when I got married, I told my wife, mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's kind of the deal we had. We're naturally selfish people. That's the way we operate. We're learning to open up and say, God, open up our life. We talked about learning to forgive, giving away forgiveness, and how that frees us, and we become like Christ by giving away the forgiveness that He's given us. We talked about giving up. Quit trying to hold on to everything in our life and learning to give up. Then we talked about whose Skittles are you eating. We passed out Skittles. If you missed that sermon, you missed the wrong week because Pastor Gene passed out Skittles to everybody in the auditorium. We ate Skittles while I taught that morning. Some of you have been getting requests already. Pastor, can you please preach a sermon on Reese's Pieces or on M&M's? You guys, let's give you a foot and take a mile. It's like my kids, okay? I tell you what. Pastor Mac preached an awesome message last week, did an awesome job on giving of yourself. And today we're going to conclude the series on give with the words, give it all. Give it all. Now today, I don't have any points to my sermon. And some of you may be thinking he's preaching a pointless sermon. If you know me very well, I usually have 3 points and or two at least, a pretty outline. But today I want to close with just some general thoughts as we close the series. And really the general thought, the point is today, right here, the title, give it all. Give it all. Giving everything we have to the Lord. Giving everything. You ever had a pastor or a minister ask you to do this? Maybe when they're getting ready to take up a special offering. I've even done it here at times when we're doing a special offering. I'll ask you to bow your heads and just ask the Lord what He wants you to give. Now, don't you hate it when the pastor does that? I know you have to hate it sometimes because I'm like, God, if I really ask you, what if you ask me to give everything? You know, what if God really asked me just to write a check for everything? Or what if God asked me to give everything in my wallet? You know, we're kind of like, all right, we kind of got our mind set up. I got this much with me. I can budget this. We kind of got it all figured out. But if you ever stop and ask, God, what do you want me to give today? That's kind of a dangerous thing. And so sometimes we do that because we're afraid maybe God may say, give it all. And there's been times God's told me to do that. He's told me to write a check for it all. There's been times God said, throw it all in. And I tell you, sometimes it's not always an easy thing, so I'm always kind of cautious. God, do I really want to ask you? Because I know you may answer me in a way that I may not want to do, to answer and be obedient in. And so we hear this word about giving it all. God, what would you have us to give? And I think it's pretty clear if we were to ask God that question today, God, what would you have me to give? And He would say, give it all. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about everything we are. Everything we are today, God has wanted us to give it all to Him. It all belongs to Him. Let's look at our text this morning, and I'm going to spend a long time. I got half the notes I usually do, so don't be watching your clock this morning. Some of you are thinking, he's getting a late start today. Don't worry about it. We're going to be finished up on time. I'll take care of you, okay? Some of you are worried about the race and all that stuff. Ted, I won't mention your name, but anyway. Mark chapter 12. Look what it says here. And Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called his disciples and said to him, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they have gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, being poor, has given everything she had to live on. She'd given everything she had. Now, I like looking at the scripture because many people take this thing and kind of twist it around. And they say, you know, he was getting on to those who were rich. No, he wasn't at all. This scripture is not about that. Matter of fact, if you see what he was talking about here, some people think that Jesus kind of made a big spectacle. Hey, listen, this woman right here, you know, and he reprimanded everybody else. Jesus wasn't reprimanding everybody else there. What he was doing was taking advantage of a moment, a teaching moment. And says that he called just his disciples around him. He didn't call the whole temple together. He didn't stand up and embarrass those who had just given. But he was trying to teach his disciples a principle of the kingdom, a very important principle of the kingdom that's very dear to his heart, to the fact that he said, all right, come here, I'm going to tell you something. See that lady right there? He got his disciples. She gave more than all these other people who you think are rich because she had given all she had to the Lord. It wasn't much. It was just a few cents in today's money. And, of course, in that time, it was what she had given was the lowest she could have given as far as money. And he said to her, because she had given all, she was the one who was giving the most because she was giving all that she had to the Lord. And I believe that even more so than in the offering, he was talking about that in her heart, she was willing to give everything to the Lord. He was judging her not just on her offering, but he was judging her upon the heart of what she gave, which was this heart of, God, I don't have a lot, but God, everything I have belongs to you. And so this is what God is wanting from you and I as Christians today, that he is wanting us to learn that everything belongs to the Lord, that it's all his. And we can find something about blessing. I love this story in John 2, verses 1 through 5. We see Jesus' first miracle, his first public miracle being done here. It says, and on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother said to Jesus, they have no wine, implying that they're out of wine. And look what Jesus says to her. This is his mom, okay? Woman! Now, teenagers today, do not try this at home. Just for your own safety, I just tell you this. Don't go home today and use this, okay? He says, woman, what does this your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come yet. Look what his mother does. She turns to the servant and says, whatever he says to do, do it. She didn't even argue with him, okay? She didn't even argue with her son. She's like, whatever he says to do, just do it, okay? And so we're seeing this mother-son spat right here in Scripture before Jesus ever does his miracle. But I think if we overlook this and see this, we can overlook something very, very small but a very important part of this miracle. It says, she said to his servants, whatever he says to do, you do it. And the key to our life is this, that when it comes to giving God everything, it's this key right here. Whatever God says to do, we do. You want to walk in the blessed life? You want to walk in the place that God has for you? Then learn to do whatever he's asked you to do. That's what it means by giving all to the Lord. Say, God, whatever you ask for me, I say yes. God, if you want me to sacrificially give out of my savings account sometimes, I say yes to that. God, if you want me to give of my time this time, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. God, if you want me to give of this, God, I will do. It's not about just one thing. It's not just about our money. It's about our attitude, our heart, our time, our talent, our treasure. It's about everything. It's saying, God, whatever you ask of me. God, if you ask me to go to a foreign missions trip, God, I'll go. If you ask me to go to an inner city missions trip, God, I'll go. God, if you ask me to be a better witness at my work, God, I'll straighten up. God, if you ask me to stop being a jerk at home, I'll be a better husband. God, if you ask me to stop, oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Whatever God asks me to do, I say, yes, God, I will work and do those things to the best that I can do. This is learning to give it all to the Lord. And this is what God is wanting from us. When we become obedient to the Lord, we are then setting him up to do miracles in our life. Do you realize we unlock the key to the miracle, to the blessing that God has by being obedient? It's the obedience that God is looking for. And when we are obedient, saying, God, yes, you are the owner. I am the manager. I give it all to you, whatever you want me to do. We see in the Bible that Jesus is the subject of the Bible. We talked about this the very first week. Jesus is the subject of the Bible. And if Jesus is the subject of the Bible, then giving is the verb. It's the action verb. The Bible is all about us giving, him giving to us, and us giving to him, and us giving to others. It's what it's about. The Bible, the core of the subject of the Bible is about Jesus. And it's about us giving. It's about us giving. Look at Luke 14, 27. Jesus said this, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What happens on the cross? What happens on the cross? What was the cross designed for? Death. So whoever does not want to die, basically, whoever does not want to die to himself and come after me cannot be my disciple. So as a Christian, we are called that we have to die to ourselves and saying, God, whatever you have for my life. This is very dear to Jesus' heart. Matter of fact, it's the core of the foundation of who he is. Let's continue to look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Well, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. To those who don't believe in it, it's foolishness. But they're perishing. But to those who believe in the cross, the salvation message of the cross, it says that to us, it's what? The power of God. So we're finding something about giving here that Jesus gave on the cross. He has called us to die, to give ourselves, to die, to take up our cross. And Jesus was talking about the cross. And he said, we got to give up for the cross. It's the message of the cross that is foolishness to those who are dying and perishing. But to us, we realize that, you know what? He's saying this. When Jesus has called us to lay down our life for him, to give him everything we are, that seems foolish to those who don't understand. Why would you want to be there on Sunday when you could be home doing something else? Why would you want to give your tithe to the offering when you could take that money and get a better car? Why would you want to give to this? Or why would you want to go to take your vacation and go serve and do a mission trip when you could go to, you know, to lay on a beach somewhere? Man, what doesn't make sense to them? They cannot comprehend. To them, it is foolishness. But to the Christian, we know it's the power of God. That it's the power of us dying to ourselves, giving up to what the Lord is asking us to do, that unleashes and unlocks the power of the kingdom in our life. It's the power of God. Jesus was making a point here. Look what Galatians said in 6:14. May I never boast except for what? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What was Paul saying? He was saying this. I don't boast in anything else other than the cross. It's all about the cross. He didn't boast in his great teachings. He didn't boast in his many church plants. He didn't boast in all the things all the travels he had done, his high education. He was educated as anybody else there was. He didn't boast in anything else. He said, I only boast in the cross. It's about the cross. There's something about the cross that Jesus was trying to teach us. There's something about the cross in the New Testament they're teaching us. There's something about the cross. It's very important. We see in Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Talking about Jesus, he became obedient. He given up his life, even to death upon the cross. Look what Isaiah 53 says. I'm going to read you verses 5 and 10 here, then we get to verse 11. But this whole chapter here is talking about Isaiah predicting the death of the Savior. Isaiah is predicting that Jesus would come, he would be crucified. Let's look at a couple of these verses, and it backs up what I'm saying. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Skip to verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And we know this is not, some of you look at this scripture and say, all right, you mean it was pleasing to God that he was on the cross? It's kind of confusing because we know on the day that he was crucified, it says that even the Father couldn't watch. He turned his head and he had to turn his face because he was in so much anguish himself. So why was it pleasing to him? It was pleasing to him because he knew his son was laying down his life willingly for our sins. He knew his son had the right perspective on what it's about. It's about laying down your life. And he knew the principle that was being passed on. He knew the thing that was happening in the spiritual world as far as breaking loose the hold of sin and giving us a freedom through grace. But also he knew that it was something about this giving. Something about giving of the cross. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This brought the Lord great pleasure and pleased with the Savior when his son willingly gave his life on the cross. And look what it says in verse 11, something that maybe you've never seen before. It says, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and it shall be what? Satisfied. This is an important key concept here, because we look in Scripture. Where else in Scripture does it say that Jesus was satisfied? When he healed the lepers, did it say he was satisfied? When he raised people from the dead, did it say he was satisfied? When he taught thousands on the hillside, did it say he was satisfied? When he fed 30,000 people with a small meal, did it say he was satisfied? We never see this concept, this thought thrown out that Jesus was satisfied, except for right here. Only on the death of the cross was Jesus satisfied. You see, there's something here, because we see this concept that Jesus was only satisfied through the cross. Why is that? Because basically it comes down to this. It's all about the cross. It's still, this is it. This is still our foundation of everything. It's about the cross. We can't forget, it's about the cross. Yes, it's about Spirit-filled living. Yes, it's about growing in God. But still yet, everything we have about giving, it's about the cross, because the cross is the example. The cross is what sets the foundation of our Christianity, that Christ first gave, that God gave his only son, and he willingly gave of his life. It's about the cross. We can't forget that. It's about the cross. That's where it's at. It's the cross that God gave his life. God gave his son, and his son willingly gave his life. He gave. It was a spirit of the lordship that the God of the universe would sacrifice his life for us to show us that we can sacrifice our life for him. Very easy to do when we have a perspective of the cross. God, you're asking me to do a lot. Well, he's not asking me to do more than he did. I can never give up more than he gave up. I can never sacrifice more than he sacrificed. I can never give more than he gave. See, it's about the cross. When I see the cross, it's about the cross. The cross, when I remember the cross, it causes me to say, God, I want to give it all. That cross, it's what redeemed me. The cross is what brought me salvation. The cross is what freed me from the judgment of sin. It's the cross that you willingly gave. It's the cross. What happened on the cross? It's about the cross. It helps me to give it all. And let me say this to you. You will never, ever, ever, ever be satisfied until you allow the cross to be the center of your life. If you're here today and you've been exploring this Christianity thing around for a while, and you say, I've been coming, Pastor, I like the music, and I haven't known. I just tell you this. You'll never be satisfied in your life until you allow the cross to be a center there. Nothing else will satisfy you. No degree, no paycheck, no relationship, no things. Nothing can buy you happiness. The only thing that will bring you satisfaction is where we see Jesus being satisfied. It's when you come to the cross and say, Jesus, I place myself into your lordship. I confess you as Lord of my life. And I remember it's about the cross. That's where the satisfaction I can get. That's when I can get the peace that I'm looking for. It's all about the cross. It's a count of the cross. It's part of giving. And we see story after story in the Bible where people gave and God has continued to bless. One of the stories in Kings we see where the prophet Elijah was starving and there was a famine in the land and God had been feeding him by the brook. Remember, he was bringing ravens to feed him and the brook dried up. And he said, go to this widow's house and she's going to cook you, ask her to cook you a meal. And she went there and he asked this widow to cook him a meal. She says, tell you the truth, I was just going out to get the sticks down. I'm cooking a fire. There's only enough for one last little cake for me to cook for my son and I. We're going to eat this and we're going to die. Now, I was reading this story and I was thinking in my life, I wonder if this woman really thought she was going to die. If she really thought she was going to eat this and die, was she really trying to put a guilt trip on Elijah? Sure, you want some of this? Well, we're going to eat this and die, but if you want some of our bread, we'll give it to you. Now, there was a famine in the land, so we know that she wasn't just saying it. There actually was a famine in the land, and food was very, very sparse, okay? You couldn't get it. Matter of fact, we see horrific stories of cannibalism and things like that happening in this scripture where people were starving to the point where they were panicking. And so Elijah went to her, and she said, okay, God, if you're asking me to cook for your prophet, we'll give him. And she gave her last meal that she ever had on earth for her and her son. She cooked it and gave a big majority of it to the prophet. And of course, we see where God promised her that if she would do this, that her meal would never draw dry. And of course, She had plenty of food. Every time she went to draw that out, there was always some there. God always replenished that and put it back. And while everybody else was starving in a famine, she was being fed. Her and her son were being fed and nurtured. Because why? Because she gave all she had to the Lord. It's a principle that God was wanting to teach us. Well, see, could God have brought another raven down to feed the prophet? Yes, he could. But he wasn't teaching a principle by doing that. The principle he was teaching to you and I today, because he knew it would be recorded, was this: when we learn to give it all to the Lord, that he will take care of you. That others may be in a famine, other people may be going through spiritual droughts in their life, maybe going through things that they don't know where the answer is coming from, but there's a hope in the Lord, as we sung about this morning. Our hope is in the Lord. And when we learn to, God, everything I have is yours, I'll willingly give it all to you, there's a freedom that comes of knowing that God is going to take care of me. God is going to meet my needs, and God's going to take care of me. It's submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I was reading a story the other day, and I really heard this on a broadcast. Pastor Bill Cornelius, who is pastoring one of the fastest-growing churches in America down in Baytown, Texas. And he's got a church running about 15,000 people, and it's made it there in about 10, 11 years. So it's growing really, really fast as he started this church. And he was telling the story recently about how they were in a building project, and they were trying to build the new building they needed. They were doing service after service. They were doing two services on Saturday, three services on Sunday morning. I mean, they were just doing five services a weekend. They were needing a new building. And they'd been raising money, and still yet they were $3 million short. They couldn't get any more money from the bank, and they couldn't. He had just drained all the money from the people he could actually do. And he was sitting in his office, and he was debating. He said it was an hour before the first service on that Saturday night. And he said, I was praying, God, I'm just not feeling the peace. I need to go ask him for more money, but I'm just not feeling the peace. I feel like I've taken all the money I can get. I feel like I've taken all the offerings I can take. God, I just can't go out there and ask these people to give any more. I feel like they've given. And he said, at that time, he said, I noticed a book on my shelf that said The Blessed Life. Now, some of you may remember The Blessed Life. We actually watched that series a couple years ago. We watched one on a Sunday morning, the rest on a Wednesday night, by Pastor Morris there in Texas. And he said, a friend had given him that book, and God said, when are you going to read that book? And he's like, God, I got to preach in an hour. And he's like, but I guess if you want me to read this book, I'll open it up. And hour before he gets ready to preach, he opens up this book about the blessed life, and he sees the story about Robert Morris telling about how he'd given everything he had to the Lord, how God had asked him to give away his home, how God had asked him to give away his cars, and asked him to give away all these things. And the more he gave away, the more God kept giving back to him. He couldn't give it away fast enough. The more he gave it away, God was giving it back to him. It was like this unreal principle that God was trying to share with him. And he said something happened on the inside of him that clicked. Pastor Bill said, I was reading this, and I was like, wow, God, I've never served you like that. But I've never trusted you with everything I have. He said, in that right there in that moment, God spoke to him. He said, you know what, God? I'm going to give away my car this morning. I feel like you want me to give away my car. I just want to be obedient to you. And so he's out, and he was talking to his associate pastor. And he said, man, I just feel like God wants me to give away my car. I was just reading this morning. And he goes, but I'm struggling with what I need to speak about because I was planning on doing this. And so, Pastor, you just got your sermon right there. Just share what God's got on your heart this morning. Just go with it. Whatever God's telling you to do, just go with it. And so he got up and shared about how God was changing him and some things were happening. And so after service, he began to praise to God. All right, I guess I got to give him a car. So he went outside between services and began to clean out his car. He said, I was taking out my old McDonald's bags, you know, all those Happy Meals boxes, all those things out there. He was cleaning it out and thinking, all right, God, I know who I can give this to. There's somebody in our church could use it right now. He had all these people lined up that he was going to give it to. And God said, listen, I know. When are you going to listen? He goes, I'll tell you who I want you to give it to. I just ask you to be obedient. You said yes, and I'm going to tell you who I want you to give it to. And God said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He goes, the first person to walk on stage and to give you an offering in the middle of your sermon, that's the person I want you to give the car to. He's like, Pastor, no one ever has ever. He's like, God, no one's ever walked on stage and handed me money in the middle of my sermon. And he didn't tell anybody this. Of course, this is a conversation he's having with God. He's like, all right, God, if you know what you're doing, okay. You know, he's kind of like, all right, God. He's thinking, he said, in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, right. Like, someone's going to want all the service we do. I mean, my security would tackle if someone comes out to get me on stage. So, first of all, a church that big, this doesn't happen, you know. And so he said, I'm preaching, and all of a sudden, this guy walks up and hands the guy a $100 bill and sits down. And he walks up to the guy and says, here, those are the keys. And after church, he's like, no one else knew what was going on. He just threw this guy some keys, and he went on preaching. And after church, he got with this guy, and he said, this guy said, he goes, what happened here? He goes, well, this guy who gave me $100 says, me and my wife were having a debate on whether or not God really speaks today or not. And I told her that God really doesn't speak today. That he's really not speaking to people like we think they are. And all these people saying God spoke to them, I don't believe it. And he said that while you were speaking, he goes, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give $100. And I was like, what? He said, spoke to me and told me to give $100. And God has never spoke to me ever. But in the middle of your sermon, God told me to get up and to give you $100. He goes, and so I knew it was God. He goes, I was so skeptical. I never thought God could speak to me. I never thought God could speak to anybody. Because I knew God was telling me right then. I know it sounds crazy, Pastor, and I'm sorry for coming up in the middle of the sermon. But God told me to give you $100 right then. And he said, well, let me tell you what happened to me. So they exchanged notes. He says, here's the car. God, he said, wow, we really needed a new car. And this was a blessing to this family. And so this pastor, he gets home afterwards and he starts to think about, you know what? I just gave away my car. I don't have a ride to church in the morning. And it's late. And so he starts calling the associate pastor, and the associate pastor won't answer this call. So he starts calling other people, and he can't get no one to answer, or his staff. And so he finally gets a hold of his drummer, the good old drummer's Mike, the drummer. He says, hey, I gave away my car, and so I need to ride to church in the morning. He said, Pastor, I would love to give you a ride. He goes, but I go at 7:30 because I'm on the worship team. And the pastor was like, he said this to us in the testimony. He says, you know what? I had to go at 7:30. He goes, let me make it clear here, because I did two services on Saturday night. I did three on Sunday morning. I never show up at 7:30 on Sunday morning. I show up, this is the first time for the first service start because I'm there so much on the weekend. He said, but this one time, I came at 7:30. It just so happened that there was a couple in town who knew this man from 10 to 15 years ago. And they were praying, and God told them, they had just bought a brand new car, had just gotten a brand new van, and God told them to go and give this pastor the car. They hadn't been to the church on Saturday night. They were actually speaking at another church. They were an evangelist, and they were actually speaking at another church that morning. They said, well, the only way we can catch him is we get there really early, and hopefully he's there. And they came by the church at what time that morning? 7:30. A time that he's usually not there. He's usually not there until right at 9 o'clock. But he happened to be there because he had to come with the drummer. And they walked in and said, hey, man, I'm glad we caught you here. God, we were praying and God told us we need to give you our new van. And threw him the keys to the new van. So he got up the next morning, he got up the next two, three services and shared this testimony, how God had done all this. And he said, I didn't have to say one thing about taking up an offering, because all of a sudden people started coming, started giving away cars, started giving away houses, vacation homes. People started just writing checks out, jewelry. He goes, and within that week, within that 1 week period, we had $3 million given for our project to finish out. All because someone decided to unlock and say, you know what? I want to give everything I have to the Lord. See, there's something about that unlocks this key of giving to the Lord. There's something about unlocking and giving to the Lord. I'm going to close today with this as the musicians are coming. Mark 12:30. Mark 12:30 is our last scripture, the last thing we're going to say today. Look what it says here. Jesus said this very clear. And you shall love the Lord. He was asked, what's the greatest things we can do? He said, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Then he goes on to say, the second commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. See, God has never asked for half of our heart. He's never asked for Sunday only of your time. He's never asked for just a certain small portion. He wants everything we have. All of us submitting to his lordship. This is the heart of giving. And this is what will take us to propel you to becoming God-centered people. I'm going to ask you to stand today. As we bow our heads, let's just bow our heads this morning where you're at. Nobody's looking around but me this morning. Before we go any further, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, you're talking about giving up to the lordship of Jesus Christ when it comes to salvation and the cross. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never prayed this prayer. I never asked Jesus Christ into my life to forgive me my sins. And today I know that I need to satisfy that part of my life. I need to quit running from God. I need to quit trying to look for satisfaction in everything else. And today, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer, or maybe you have You say, Pastor, I've been so far away from God. Today I want to come back and I want to renew that commitment to the Lord. I bet you here today, no one's looking around and we will not embarrass you at all. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up where you're at where I can see it. Let me know that's you today and you're ready. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else today want to join this person? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two today that says, I'm ready to make that commitment? Anybody else? We're going to all say this prayer together. We had those who raised their hands this morning. Those who raised your hands, I really want you to pray this prayer, and we're all going to join you in this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you all of my hurt, all of my dreams, all of my sin. It belongs to you today. I accept your forgiveness. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, and I will live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave today, back at our Welcome Center, we have a packet for you. It's got a new Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next. Stop by and pick one of those up today. It'll really help you out a lot. The rest of us today, I'm going to invite you today. Close out the series. I want to invite those who will to join me around the front. Can we come around the front today and to close out the series, saying, God, we want to be people who are God-centered. We want to be people who submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're going to come around the front today. Like to come to the front sometimes as a place to come and pray at the altar, or sometimes we come like this as a group, just as a sign. We can spread out, guys. Some of you might want to scoot to this way and that way to make room for those who are coming in from the back. Thank you. This is a form of unity to come together and say, God, we want this spirit to be in our heart as our church body. And we want to have a giving spirit. We want to break any spirit of selfishness and say, God, it all belongs to you. It's all yours. We give it all up to you. We sacrifice it all to you, God. Whatever you ask for me, I say yes. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'm willing to do that. Where you want me to go, I will go. What you want me to say, I'll say. What you want me to pray, I'll pray. God, whatever you want me to give, I'll give. It's the heart of the issue that God's looking for. Complete surrender. Complete surrender to him. We're going to sing a song, Draw Me Close, as we do today. I want you to cement this thought in your heart, this prayer in your heart to God today. Everything I have today belongs to you. I'm giving you everything. I'm breaking selfish spirit in my life. And God, I'm asking you to help me to be a giving person beyond I've ever been before.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say, my desire, and no one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find. Help me know you. me close to you.
We give everything to you today, God.
Never let me go, Lord.
Never let me go.
I lay it all down again.
Lay it all down.
It's all yours, Father.
Just to hear you say.
Hear you say that I'm your friend.
Cross, it causes me to want to give. Every time I think about the cross, it causes me to want to give because I remember how much he gave for me. Today, Justin's going to come and close us out in prayer. As we do close out in prayer today, let's make it our prayer. God, we say yes. We say yes to whatever you want for our life. Thank you. God bless you. Praise Justin.
God, you've spoken to us so clear this morning over these last couple of weeks, God. Lord, you summed it up by saying that you want us to be prepared to say yes. Lord, to be prepared to give it all away, God. Lord, because you sent your son and you gave all on our behalf to bring us back to you, God. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that every person in this place, God, Lord, that it would be a burning desire in all of our hearts, God, to say yes, God. Not maybe, God, not I'll think about it, Lord, but, Lord, when we hear you, God, Lord, let our first instinct be to be obedient unto you, God. And, Lord, we believe, God, that as we say yes to you, God, Lord, that you'll change us, God, Lord, in ways we could never have imagined before, God. And you'll bless us, God. You'll bless our land, God. Lord, you'll heal our lives and our land, God. Lord, in a way that you've always wanted to, God. But Lord, you've just been looking for an obedient spirit, God, and a yes, God, in our hearts. And so, God, we just say yes to you this morning, God, to your will and to your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.